were scheduled tonight to have the Lord's Supper, and Mr. and Mrs. Baskett are those who prepare for us, and when she had this emergency hit her, the Lord has led us to postpone the Lord's Supper. But during the Lord's Supper, the way that we do that around here is the Lord has laid on my heart that when we observe the Lord's Supper, to allow you an opportunity to stand and give a testimony about the Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody may say, how do I know if I'm supposed to testify? All I can say is you'll know if you're supposed to testify. The Lord will let you know that. We don't want anybody standing to testify that God has not led them to do so. But if the Lord does lead you to say something, we want to have a testimony meeting tonight. The Lord laid on my heart, even though we're not observing the Lord's Supper, that we are here because of the risen Savior. And to give you an opportunity tonight to praise the name of Jesus Christ. As Preacher Lashley used to say, he basically would say, we don't want to hear any trouble stories, no sobbing stories, anything like that. This is a time where we're trying to uplift one another in the cause of Jesus Christ. The Word of God says in Psalm 107, verse number 2, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In other words, we who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ should not be ashamed to tell others about it. And this being the case, I want to pray with you, and we'll go as long as you want to go. This may take 10 minutes. It may take a half an hour. But what we ask you to do, if you feel the Lord is prompting you to do this, we ask you to stand if you're able to do that, and one of these young men will bring a microphone to you. One reason we do that is we broadcast our services live over the internet, and if we do not put a microphone with you, then those who are listening over the internet cannot hear you, more than likely, unless you have a voice like mine, okay? So we're going to pray together, and then I'm going to be quiet if I can do that. So I'm going to have a seat. And if you would like to stand and give a testimony tonight about what Jesus Christ means to you, what He means to you, what does the resurrected Savior mean to you? Has He been good to you? Has He been great to you? I mean, folks, you've got something to praise the Lord about. And I know not everybody's going to stand tonight, but if you do stand, make sure the Lord's in it and ask God to use it. And let's ask God to meet with us, okay? Father, we love You tonight, and I pray, as we have a very unusual service tonight by having one of these periodic testimony meetings, I pray that You'll touch it. I pray that You will bless it. And I pray that You truly will be honored, glorified, and praised here. May You tabernacle among us, speak to our hearts. May we feel Your sweet presence. We know it's not about feelings, but Lord, we sure do love to feel Your presence among us. Would You come be with us now, I pray. We know You're here, but I pray that You manifest Yourself among us now. Help those who testify to be a testimony that is pleasing to You. We love You tonight. Thank You for loving us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, it is your turn. If you feel like God wants you to stand and share a word of testimony, you just raise your hand. Let's make sure these microphones are on. You turn them on the bottom. That would be good, okay? Yes.
Well, I would be wrong not to stand just to thank the Lord, for He's been better to me than I deserve. And last week you talked about Brother Gibbs being here. I was able to be here the whole service, and every one of the messages spoke to my heart. And we take for granted that we can pray to the Lord, and just anything to the Lord in prayer. And He's answered some maybe simple prayers to most people, but pretty big prayers in my life here lately, in my wife's life. And He always answers better than you expect. So I just praise Him for that tonight, and thank the Lord I'm saved, going to heaven.
Somebody else.
In Psalms 27, it says, I fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord and be of courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, and truly He does.
Amen. Amen.
I'll stand. I probably don't need a microphone, so I'll be all right. Trials and there's been trouble. You look to the east, there's this problem. You look to the west, there's that
You know, there's times as a pastor that you really, you know, honestly, listen, I know I'm supposed to be quiet, but I can't be quiet here. You know what I'm saying? There are times as a pastor that the Lord just really shows up. And there's been a couple of times like that where I knew without a doubt God answered prayer. No question. And one of them was with their baby girl. What a precious little girl. Looks just like her daddy. I was saying that in Sunday school and said, looks just like her daddy. She's so cute. And then I realized what I said. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not what I meant. You know what I'm saying? But thank the Lord for it. And I want you all to know that we are thrilled you're here. You challenged my heart through all of that because it came shining through your faith in God, your testimony to me. And we love you. We're glad you're here. Praise the Lord for it. Amen. Amen. Somebody else. Somebody else. Yes.
I just want to thank my Lord and Savior. He's the greatest. And I know one thing. Pastor, I prayed for you this week like I never prayed for you in my life. Because Brother Gibbs told me Sunday night what a Christian is. And that's to get on your knees, not spend 5 or 10 minutes. You better get down there to your knees hurt. When you get up, you realize you spent some time with God.
Amen.
And I thank God for him because that message just kept burning me all week. You know, get that list Monday morning, buddy. I got that list. I was going to do what he said because I need God's blessing upon my life. Because there weren't one thing in life. If you don't pray, God's going to see to it. He'll make you pray.
Amen.
And I just thank God for all the prayers he's answered. I don't deserve it. I'm nothing. But my Lord's everything.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, several months ago, I had a chance to stand over a playpen where in the dusk of the day, where one of my grandchildren, about 1 year old, was laying there. She was sprayed out like you've seen them do with a onesie on her stomach, sleeping the sleep of the innocent. And it suddenly dawned on me, Lord, let me see if I got this right. You're telling me that you love a big, old, ugly sinner like me, like you love that child? I don't understand that. I have trouble wrapping my mind around that. If anybody here understands that, I'd appreciate you coming to me after church and explain it to me. I'm a 93-year-old mother, and I think of these ladies coming to church on this bus. It's hard sometimes for us to understand that God loves them the same way he loves one of these newborns back here in the nursery. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else. Riley, right back there.
I'm not much talking, so I was going to work last night, and I looked down at the gas, and I'd about out of gas. And I thought, if you don't stop and get some gas, you're going to be calling Atlanta to come get you. So I stopped at the Roadrunner out in Boone's Creek. I done something real spiritual while I was in there. I bought me an Knoxville New Sentinel, and I got to work, and I was wanting to check and see if Tennessee got him a basketball coach yet. Well, they didn't, so. I looked in there, and there was a section in there called a religious section, I guess. It had a picture of this lady that was making these little crosses, and I read the article. And she was went to a church there in Knoxville, and they was having classes on how to serve the Lord out in your community. And they was pushing a rescue-type mission and for the homeless and providing food and shelter. She made the statement, she said, I don't have the personality to deal with that type of people or the capabilities, but I wanted to do something. But she was making these little crosses, and people started wanting them, and she started selling them, and she'd sold several hundred of them for $25 a piece. And she was giving all that money to that rescue mission. Then she made this statement, and when she made this statement, it's the one thing I got out of that article. The Lord just opened my heart up, put that statement in my heart, and I'll never forget it. She said, "This is what I do for the Lord." And I'll be 70-year-old, my birthday. I don't have any gifts to speak of. I don't have any talents. Last time I spoke over the Severe Center, I told the Lord, I said, "If you'll forgive me for doing that, I'll not do that no more." Anyhow, I remember about 3.5 years ago, I was in the parking lot down at the paper mill on Kingsport. And I had one of the coldest hearts a man could have. And I thought, well, I'll pray. And I tried to pray, and I couldn't even pray. And to be honest with you, I didn't want to pray. I was so weak in the flesh. But I knew I needed to pray. And I prayed for days and days. And finally, I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, if you'll have compassion upon me and let me serve you in my old age, I'll go where nobody else wants to go. Well, I'll minister where nobody else wants to minister." Little did I know what God had prepared for me. Where I'm ministering now, the church started the ministry over at the John Severe Center. You know, you can go over all day long, walk the streets of Johnson City, and you'll not see nobody else over there. I read in Matthew the other day, the Lord looked out over the multitudes and he had compassion. He said, "They're like sheep, don't have a shepherd." You go over to John City and look around. They ain't got no shepherd. They're just a bunch of drug addicts, homeless people, drunkards, alcohol, taking control of their lives. And little did I know that's where the Lord was going to put me, where nobody else wanted to go. But now, I can say what this lady said. This is what the Lord lets me do for him.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody else.
There are certain verses when you read through the Bible, they just stick with you, and they kind of float through the back of your head, and you just kind of bounce them around a lot. And one of them for me is Malachi 3:10, and I'm going to quote it loosely now, so I'm not creating the Brother Bob version here, but so here goes. It's "Bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, and see if I don't bless you beyond measure." So the point is that so I read that and I say, "Lord, I'm supposed to prove you." Isn't it supposed to be the other way around? That I'm supposed to prove myself for you. You're proving yourself to me. And it's just amazing. But the whole point of that verse to me is that bring you the tithes into the storehouse. Bob, do what you're supposed to do. I will bless you beyond measure. That's just absolutely unbelievable to me. And that is how the Lord blesses us. And I just can't. I'm like Steve. That's something I just really can't even understand. For simple obedience, he would bless us beyond our comprehension and beyond anything that we can understand.
Amen. Amen. Good.
Brother Jody, you know we're celebrating Easter, and I was thinking today there's a saying going around in America that God is dead, and their God, there's a body in the grave, but my God, there's no body there. He's arisen. He's rose from that grave, and I can't wait till that day when we do have that glorious day when we can see him coming in the sky. And I could never thank him enough for what he has done for me. I could praise him for what all he's done, and I'd never get through praising him because he is my risen Savior.
Amen. Amen. We have faithful soul winners in our church, a lot of them. You just heard one of them. That be one of them right there, her. God bless you. You challenge my heart. She's a track-giving machine is what she is, you know. So praise the Lord for it. Somebody else.
I didn't want to get up, but I couldn't help it. I may mess up, but Lord knows my heart. I've got a birthday today. 34-year-old. I know I don't look that old, but 34 years ago, I sat right over there. I thank God for, most of all, for the Lord Jesus and the blood. But I thank this church and past ministries and the ministries now, the emphasizes going out and visiting. If they hadn't come and knocked on my door, I wouldn't have been here. Probably never been anywhere. But I am so glad that they did that. And Brother Steve was one of the ones that came out to my house, and I believe it was about a Tuesday night. I might get a little long-winded, but the Lord understands. And I didn't, well, a little preacher down there in Sulphur Springs, when I seen him coming, all I had to do was point and he'd leave because I'd run him off so much. But they came in and I was shining on a motorcycle. What do they get to talking about? A motorcycle. Caught my attention, so after I read that Big Brother book, I seen what trick they pulled on me, but let them come in, and I guess they talked to about 11 or 12. I was under conviction, but I just wouldn't give in. But I did. They said, would you come Sunday to Easter? I said, yeah. I was probably lying. But that was Tuesday night. Didn't hardly sleep none Tuesday night. Didn't hardly sleep none Wednesday night. Didn't hardly sleep none Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I was under some conviction. And when I came in here, I looked around and seen what a big church, and I told my wife, I poked my wife, I said, we need to get out of here. I said, this is too big for me. And I couldn't tell you what Preacher Leslie preached about. But when he gave that invitation, when I first went in, I said, you couldn't drag me to that altar. But he gave that invitation. You couldn't stop me from getting to that altar. And people say, well, how do you know you're saved? Well, like it's been told, you'd be going one way and you'll turn and go the other way. But it made a change in me. I couldn't do the things I used to want to do. Well, I could do them, but I was convicted. Couldn't do it. And I just want to thank Jesus and for that blood and how he dealt with me to save me. He's kept me over these years, and I could go on for a long time. I know you know, a lot of people don't know because they're new here, about the time I had the cancer. 97 days I laid over there, and they gave me up for dead. Told my wife I wouldn't be living in the morning. But I heard about them, a lot of people visiting, and they said they had like a prayer meeting almost in the waiting room out there. If it wasn't for that prayer, I don't believe I'd be here. And if I wasn't, I'd still be all right. But I thank God for prayer. Thank God for the people that visit. Thank for people that invites. Lord's good. He's good.
Yes.
And I was worried while I was laying in the hospital, how am I going to provide for my family? Because they said, you'll never be able to go back to work. Listen, it'd make a hair stand up on your head if I told you how the Lord has blessed me financially. It's just unreal. Of all the cancer I could have had, it was associated with the military, the Agent Orange, which allowed me to be service-connected, which allowed me to have free medical care, which gave me some money from them, which allowed me to provide for my family. You can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. I'm sorry it took so much time, but I want to praise Him. I want to thank Him. Him most of all. I didn't want to get up here and say, it's me, me, me. It's not me. It's Him. Yes. It's Him, Him, Him.
Amen.
And if anybody in here says they're debating where to give or not, listen, give, because you can't outgive God. You can't do it. I thank Him. Thank you for this church, even for you, Pastor.
I appreciate that.
I just want to follow that with praising the Lord for bringing Keith Watts here, because he led me to the Lord in children's church when I was in first grade. So I just want to thank Him for getting him here and getting him saved so that he could lead me to the Lord as well.
Amen. 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 I like that. Praise the Lord. Somebody else.
I've been shaking this whole time, so I knew I needed to stand up. God has blessed me more than I could have ever imagined with the most godly family. If I was ever, a lot of you know that I've been going through some stuff for a while now. And if I ever started feeling sick, my mom and dad would just turn off the television and put their hands on me and start praying out loud. And when Dr. Gibbs was talking about prayer and how you should pray in front of your children out loud, you know, I thought, my parents do that. They're blessed through God to know what to say when I need them to say it, and to always uplift me when I'm feeling down. And they came from great godly parents too. So my whole family has just been a blessing through this whole thing. And my grandma took me to the doctor about a month ago. And she was doing some stuff, and I wasn't numbed, so I was in a lot of pain and clenching my teeth. And my grandma kept saying, just say Bible verses. Just say some Bible verses, and it'll help you, it'll help you. You won't feel it if you say Bible verses. And I was just laying there really mad, clenching my teeth, looking at her like, no, I'm not. And so she started saying them out loud for me. And it helped. And I didn't feel it because she was holding my hand, and she was saying those Bible verses. And the doctor was just standing there and doing what she needed to do. And after my grandma was done, she actually told us, you know, do what you need to do. And she smiled. She said, thank you. And so God's blessed me with an amazing godly family.
Amen.
Amazing godly family. And I wanted to thank everyone in this church for their prayers.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Somebody else.
Certainly enjoyed hearing these testimonies, and especially where one person's led another person in, another person, that person led someone else to the Lord. That's the way it's supposed to be done.
Yes.
And the Lord's laid it on my heart when you started this thing about reaching our Jerusalem for my subdivision that I live in. And unfortunately, I've lived there 17 years, and I've never been door to door my subdivision witnessing to my neighbors. And I just felt like that before I die and leave this world, the people that live in my subdivision know how I feel about the Lord.
Amen.
And they need to hear from one of their neighbors.
Yes.
That the Lord died for them and loves them. And so I'm praying that the Lord will give me the, you know, it's easier to talk to a stranger than to someone that's kind of an acquaintance. But unfortunately, I don't know but a handful of those people that's in that subdivision. There's probably 60 homes in there. And some of them, I'm sure, go to church. But the vast majority of them never get to hear what we hear here. And that's really a shame. Yes. And I'm sure the vast majority of them, if they do go to a church, they're probably not hearing the truth. And so I'm hoping that the church as a whole, that we can go out one by one.
Yes.
We'll win some of them, and they'll come in here, and eventually they'll win somebody else.
Amen.
And this same story will be repeated over and over again. We may be dead and gone when this all happens, but we need to all let our neighbors know what we think of the Lord and what the Lord thinks of us.
Amen.
What he's done for us.
Amen. I appreciate that testimony. Praise the Lord. We'll help you knock those doors if you'd like us to do that. Be honored to do that. Okay? Good. Yes, sir.
Well, Jody, I just want to say that's one of a couple of verses I've used for a long, long time. I use these. I use in the nursery. And years and years and years I've used these. And it's I like to find principles in the Word of God that will teach you what you ought to do and what you ought not to do. And this is not John 3:16, but it's the same thing. It's the same principle. There's a verse in Proverbs 16 in verse 3 that says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, that has to do with this soul winning. That has to do with reaching Jerusalem, anywhere you want to take it. That's what the Lord wants to do. If we're interested in his work, he will absolutely establish our thoughts. And now, we're creatures of action and habits and things of that sort, but he wants to show us where it'd be most beneficial for us to spend our time. And he has promised, unqualifiedly, he has promised that in his word. And then when you find that out, he tells us in Psalms 32 and verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And he has done that for me for over 40 years. I don't know exactly when I started, discovered these verses and began to use them. But he'll do that in your workplace. He'll do that in politics. He'll do that in the community. He'll do that in a Sunday school class. Wherever you are, God has a will. And he has promised that he'll show us what it is. And he'll give us guidance. And I like to think about a spotter up there somewhere, you know, that I can't see. But he sees all these this muddling around and this crowded society and things of that sort. But he knows exactly where I need to be. Amen. And he promised he'd do that for me.
Amen.
And I praise him for it with all my heart.
God bless you. I always appreciate that testimony. I was watching them as they were leaving as a couple this morning. And I said, now, y'all still together? She said, you want to see my guns, what she said. You know what I mean? Yes. Somebody else, you just have to give a testimony. I mean, it's God's leading you to do it. You just have to do it. Anybody?
Thank you. I just want to thank Jesus for everything he's done for me and everything he's given to me. I was reading in Matthew, the last part of Matthew today for my devotions, and you probably already know, but the angel said, for he is not here, for he is risen. And I think we can all say that he is alive. And the people are still walking around the earth saying he's not. But he is still alive, and he still has the power to save people. And I just thank him for that.
Amen. Amen.
Thank the Lord for saving me and for giving me the hopes of heaven. You know, he came by my way one day when I was 6 years old and saved me during a revival. And I thank God for godly parents who had me there. We were there every day, that the doors were open, we were at church, and I thank him for that. I thank him for the answer prayers for Rory, and I thank him for my oldest who has a servant's heart. You know, she was giving out tracts at school this week.
Great.
you know, when there's an altar call, she wants to be there, and I think he's going to use her in a mighty way one of these days.
Amen.
I just want to thank him for my husband and just thank him for always being there and for that sweet presence I feel right now.
Amen. Amen. Great. Now, you needed a microphone, but your husband didn't. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say a word about that. You know what I mean? Anybody else?
I couldn't resist it. As you know, Tammy had to go in for surgery some weeks back, and I was trying to be solid, you know. You were visiting with us in the hospital room, and it was peaceful. But whenever they took her off the elevator, I broke. And I walked off when I seen her start crying because I was affecting her. But I went right back and I kneeled down and I prayed with her. I prayed with her, and I thank God for the ability to be able to do that with my wife and my children. And I think back about how I felt at that point whenever they were wheeling her off and all the unknowns. We all went to the chapel and we prayed. And good things come out of that time that we were in the chapel. Her son, our son, I believe really got things right with the Lord. But the feeling that I had when she left, I was thinking about it today, and I can't imagine what Christ felt like as he was carrying his cross. He had me in mind. And as he was going up that hill and they were beating him and they were spitting on him, you know that he was suffering persecution as he was carrying his cross. And as they were nailing him to that cross, he had me in mind. And whenever they dropped the cross down into the ground, and I'm sure that that was painful, he had me in mind. The whole time, he felt like everybody had abandoned him, but he didn't abandon me. 2,000 years ago, he knew that I was going to need a Savior. And he loved me so much that he died on the cross for me. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Thank God he was looking for me. Because I wasn't looking for him. But I think about today, and I think about the cancer that she had. And the fact that as Christians, we can go through this with somebody that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's a refuge. He's someone that we can count on. He's a present help in a time of need. And we can lean on him. And I'm telling you, even though you're going through discouragement, sometimes you can be encouraged through that, and you can see God's hand work. And it just does something to you. Sometimes you just feel like you got to shout. I got news there the other week, and I was with some guys working on a cooling tower at the hospital. I was in the middle of a parking lot. And when she told me the news, I just said, "Praise God." And I mean, I was loud. People were looking at me like I was crazy, but they don't understand what praising God really is. We can go to him because he is our Father, and we can praise his holy name for the things that he's done for us, and he is worthy.
Yes.
He's worthy of praise.
Amen.
He's worthy of us giving our time and giving our tithe. He's worthy of us being here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday evenings. He's worthy of us living a life that is uplifting and encouraging to others. You know, sometimes we read our Bible, but we do it ritualistic. In other words, we make it as something that we feel like we have to do. But I've learned through this that reading my Bible is a pleasure. And I've been sticking to the Psalms here lately. And that's where I've gained my strength. And I can't see how somebody can go through a sickness like this, or a spouse helping with a someone that's going through this and not being able to lean on God. I can't imagine that. And I'm just going to say right now, I thank him for 1996, whenever he saved my soul, and he took me out of that mess that I was in, and he turned me around, and he made me something new.
Amen.
And I thank him for leading me to this woman, my wife. I love her dearly. I thank God for everything that we've been through because He has helped us through those times, and He has showed us that He is real. People can say whatever they want to that movie, God is not dead, or whatever the case may be. I know He's not dead. God is alive. He's proven Himself to me, and I just want to thank Him for everything He's done. Amen. I just want to thank Him. Praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 If I could have somebody come to the piano who's prepared to play, Brother Gary, if you'll come. I wonder today, as you hear these testimonies, you hear some folks who've gone through some tremendous trials, God's been there for them. You hear those praising God for the day that He saved them. I praise God for the day He spoke to my heart and saved me as a child. Here in this place, in this church, God saved me, and now God's called me to pastor you great people. And I'll be honest with you, if you're anything like me, you feel like you don't know what you're doing. I remember when Brother David Gibbs was here, and as soon as you all get prepared, you can begin to play through softly. As Brother David Gibbs was here, I went to pick him up at the motel. And this was, I think, coming back to church on Sunday evening. I think I'm right. And it's just he and I, precious time together. And I told him, I said, because this is honestly how I feel. I said, Dr. Gibbs, I said, as pastor of this great church, I just feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Doesn't that excite you that your pastor feels like he doesn't know what he's doing? I said, I just feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Like, why has God called me to do this? There's so much in my heart that I believe the Holy Spirit of God has put there. Praying through things, trying to discern the will of God. And he basically looked at me and he said, Jody, he said, never lose that, son. Never lose that. What he was telling me is when a pastor feels like he's got it all figured out, and when he feels like he can handle it and he can do it and he's got it under control, he's basically telling me, just counseling me, saying that's when that man is in trouble. And I'm telling you, God's doing something in my heart. He's trying to take this church to the next level. I can't even explain it to you. I'm praying that He'll help me put it into words so you'll understand it. But He's got to make it plain to me first. But you may be here tonight and coming into a church service like this, and in your heart you say, you know, I could never stand and testify to those things because I'm not even sure He's even my Savior. I don't want to be a pastor that ever lets a service go by without giving somebody an opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. Because I don't know how God's speaking to you. I don't know your heart. I can't see your heart. And it could be in a testimony meeting like this that God is speaking to you, saying, what I've done for them, I want to do for you. Do you know Him as your Savior? Have you trusted Him and Him alone? If you died just like you are you 100% sure that you're saved? If not, in just a moment, come let us take a Bible. We'll share the gospel with you. You're not going to join this church. You're not going to give in the all nothing. We just want to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Or maybe tonight, maybe you're going through a trial. Maybe you're going through a problem. Maybe your heart is broken. Maybe there's something going on that a lot of people know about, some people know about, or nobody knows about. God has taken the testimonies of His people and encouraged your heart. Maybe you just want to come and pray. Whatever God's doing, let Him have His way. It's been good tonight. It's been good hearing from God's people that God has done something for. And may I remind you that what He's done for you, He wants to do for everybody else. And He wants us to tell them about Him. I don't know how God's using this, but however He is, let's be sensitive. Let's follow His leading. And if He wants you to respond, respond. Let's all stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, take these simple thoughts, these testimonies of your people, and use them. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is speaking to you about your salvation, or if you just want to come bring a burden to the Lord, or if you just want to come and pray for a lost person, as Brother Gary sings, you come now. Would you do that?
Have thine own way.
You just want to come and thank God for his goodness
to you. Have thine own way.
There's time for you.
Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will. While
as people respond, we'll keep singing. Just sing on.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only.
More verse, nobody else comes, this will be it.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy
In our closing prayer here, you can look this way. We want to pray for Clara Renfroe. This is the daughter of Amy Raines Renfroe, if you remember Brother Denver Raines. This is his granddaughter. She is in ICU at Niswonger, having a bone marrow test tomorrow. I think she's 5 years old. We want to pray for her during this closing prayer. Again, that is Clara Renfroe. Okay? I'm going to ask Brother John Mineta, sir, if you would please dismiss us. In